Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Smart Faith Podcast, coming to you from the middle of nowhere in West Texas. My name is Joe Sisk, and you can email me, smartfaithpodcast@yahoo.com. Definitely check out Revelations Radio Network for all your podcast needs. I've been digging around my old podcast because I'm an incessant collector. I'm one of those type of people that just had this collecting things is in my genes, I guess. So I have a tendency not to even delete podcasts for very, very long amounts of time. And there are two podcasts that come to mind. If you want to look up for something that's been around for a little while, kind of a classic, and really are looking for some of the good old days kind of stuff, go look up Salvation Revelation by Frank Lordy. That was the podcast that started it all. It was Frank that started the Revelations Radio Network so many years ago, and for a long time, Salvation Revelation was a featured podcast on this network. And you definitely can check it out, and it's definitely worth the time. There's several episodes. He did a lot of episodes. I think they're all still available. The last time I looked, they're still available. So definitely check that out if you want a blast from the past and some goodies, oldies but goodies. And if you're looking for some newer stuff, I cannot more heartily recommend Derek Gilbert View from the Bunker. Okay, and the tertiary podcast going along with those with Frank Lordy is the Wisest Serpents podcast, and Derek Gilbert, of course, PID Radio. But those two guys do awesome work. You know, we definitely miss Frank around the network. Would love to see him come back and get on the airwaves again. There was nobody had the presence, I guess is the nicest word I can think of say. I mean, the oomph. Of Frank. Frank just made you sit down and listen. And he just told it like it was. And he was just tearing it up. So definitely check out some of those Wise as Serpents Salvation Revelation podcasts. And Derek is a consummate professional. And I don't mean to gush over these two guys. I've just really been enjoying their podcast here lately. Might have to do with something with the fact that my cable got cut off. I'm not really sure. That might have a little bit of something to do with it. But hey, all things work for the good of the glory of God, right? Before we get started today with today's particular topic, I want to talk a little bit about some things that's come up that I've seen. We talked many times about things that can be boycotted on this show. I've talked about companies that have evil logos. It's been many years, I think, since I've talked about that, but I have talked about it. We talked about satanic symbolism in modern business and things like that a long time ago. And, you know, you look around, it's easy to find people that support things that we as Christians don't support. But it isn't always as easy to find people, companies, businesses that support things that we do support. So I'm not giving an endorsement wholly to these corporations that I'm going to talk about today, but I am definitely urging you to check them out because they may well fall in line with the beliefs that you hold, that you espouse, and you may find a fulfillment in supporting these companies financially through your consumerism, okay? We can talk all day long about what not to buy, what companies to boycott. Let's talk about some companies that might be willing, that might be worth looking into, you know, endorsing and going on. And of course, all this is coming up from the stir that Chick-fil-A had with its whole anti-gay marriage stance and all that. And, you know, there are other biblically sound companies or companies that have that try to be, you know, biblically based that I think we should be definitely looking into, and if they are supportive and are true to their word, we should support them with our dollars, with our consumerism, because that's how capitalism works. You vote with your checkbook. The first company I want to mention is Tyson Foods. If you live anywhere in the Ozarks, in that area, down there in Arkansas, in Missouri, I lived there for a few years, you see Tyson Chucks and Tyson Farms everywhere. Tyson has known to be the world's largest employer of chaplains in the workforce. So Tyson has a whole chaplain services division and that go around taking care of people of different faiths and backgrounds and things in their companies. So they're definitely looking to bring spirituality and faith into the workplace. And that's something that I can, you know, I want to look into it some more, but I think I can get behind. Another company that's come up that's been famous here recently, like the Chick-fil-A thing, is Interstate Battery. Some of y'all have seen the God is Love commercial they ran for a long time here lately. There's Interstate Battery is also employs a chaplain, and it says that it's, while it's not necessary to be Christian to be employed, it is a part of the daily work life for Interstate team members, according to their website. Okay, or I'm sorry, that might be a speech from Norm Miller. I'm sorry, it was from the website. It's from corporateinterstatebatteries.com/giving. You know, so it doesn't have to be necessarily Christian to work there, but it is an integral part of the daily work life for the team members. So that's the kind of thing that I think I can get behind. Herman Miller, a Michigan-based furniture company, which I have never heard of in my life, being a Texan, is also grounded in biblical tradition. Or at least they present themselves in this manner. Like I say, I'm presenting these as is. Check them out. If there's if they're just playing lip service, well then we'll go on. Just shoot me an email. Let me know. Hey, that one didn't check out. I'll make corrections later and everything. But these are just ones that I come across that I felt uplifted about. To hear about. In-N-Out Burger. Chick-fil-A's doing their thing. In-N-Out Burger's been printing John 3:16 on the cup and on the bags and stuff like that. They also put out verses like Proverbs 3:5 and Revelations 3:20. They have 275 locations nationwide and growing. I think maybe they should maybe put some of the Bible verses in a more prominent location than the underside of the bottom of the cup. But, I mean, at least that's still something. They're still using their packaging to print Bible scripture, and that I can support, although I think they should take some steps to go further in it. Service Master is also very known to be a very biblically based company. Now, Service Master itself may not make sense or may not sound familiar to you, but companies like TruGreen, Merry Maids, and Terminix might. Those are all subsidiaries, all franchises of the Service Master. Well, according to the website from Service Master, the founder had a strong personal faith and desire to honor God in all he did. Translating this into the marketplace, he viewed each individual employee and customer as being made in God's image, worthy of dignity and respect. His successors, Ken Hansen and Ken Westner, also share this view. These three leaders shaped what became our company objective, to honor God in all we do, to help people develop, to pursue excellence, and to grow profitably. Notice they put God first in all their things. That's definitely a company we may want to look into, a franchise company that we may want to look into, because if they're going to be honoring God and living that kind of moral ground and on that moral ground, then I think I want to patronize their business, because that's the kind of thing I want to support. There's so many things we don't want to support. We'll stop and look at the things we do want to support. Hobby Lobby is also famously religious. Closed on Sundays, it's like Chick-fil-A. And we believe that it is by God's grace and provision that Hobby Lobby has endured. He has been faithful in the past. We trust him in our future. Is on the, I think, said by David Green, the founder of Hobby Lobby, I believe. Here, don't tear me out too much if I'm getting my CEOs and CFOs and COOs mixed up. I mean, you're all bigwigs to me, an interesting fact, David Green, the company's founder, is the owner of the Green Collection, a compilation of more than 40,000 biblical antiquities currently featured in a worldwide traveling exhibition called Passages. Okay, Thompson Maine also he treats his business as a ministry. He vows on his website to create a better world by exchanging our faith, experience, and hope. So that's definitely a company to look into. One that really shocked me was Forever 21. Now, I'm forever 45, or I feel forever 45. But, no, I'm 33. But, I mean, it's still, I was never cool enough for Forever 21. I don't think I've ever been inside one. But they actually print Bible verses on their packaging as well. According to a company spokeswoman, John 3:16 is used as a demonstration of the owner's Christian faith. Additionally, consumers are able to purchase ladies' t-shirts at its stores that unapologetically reveal various other Christian messages. Now, I have the idea of supporting these companies that are mainstream companies in the world that have Christian faith behind them, I think is good, because you know there's money going to the things that we don't support. And the last company that is brought up is one you got to take with a grain of salt, and that's Walmart. You know, Walmart, to me, Walmart is not religious so much as some of the founders were religious. I don't know about the Walton family now. I don't know about who Duke or whoever's running it now. But I know that Walton himself may have had, you know, been a strong faith, but the company itself acts in a way that I don't think is necessarily in line with our beliefs. That's one where they can kind of pay lip service to, but I don't really buy. So it's to me it's a definitely a fence sitter in that regard. But you know, we do need to support companies that have conservative values, that support the Christian worldview, and not just in the Christian bookstores, not just in a certain shopping center in town, you know, the His Way shopping center where it has a Christian bookstore and a Christian coffee store. We need to support Christianity in mainstream life, because Christianity is not a niche. It's not a niche in your life. It is not a niche in the world. Christianity is a lifestyle. Christianity is something you live. Christianity is something you are. And that means in the world, you cannot separate yourself from that Christianity that you are, or else you're not really being Christian. So it's not like, you know, don't get me wrong, go support the corner, you know, music store and Bible bookstore and Christian musics and Christian whatever that they're selling. You know, support them too, because they're, you know, openly and very, very openly going with the theme, you know, and that's definitely worth support too. But I think we need to integrate it into our life and not just stuck it into a corner. You know, we don't need to just stick it up on hills. See, like where I live, we have a town to where your Christian materials, they have a hill in town and a little shopping center up on the hill. If you want something Christian specifically, you go up on the hill, and then you get your Christian stuff, and then you go back down to the world. No, what we need is companies spread throughout the world that are going to be engaging for God with the people of the world, their consumers, their customers, and trying to spread the faith no matter what. So we protest so much against so many things. Let's go ahead and look at these companies and say, hey, if they're going to live right, if they're going to do their thing right, let's support them. Let's support them in positivity. We have so much boycotting, so much negativity of, oh, they're terrible. How about, you know, we have a company or two or 10 or whatever that we can go to and say, these people do good things. These people share the faith and morals that I share, and I want to support them with my patronage and with my financial contribution, and I want to be their consumer. So that's definitely something that I think we should definitely support. So, and that kind of brings us into today what I was wanting to talk about. There's a DJ that come out about this shooting thing, about talking about with the Colorado shooting. And yeah, it's still kind of reverberating around still, and it will for a long time. And he was talking about who goes to heaven and who don't. And it seems to... The radio host seemed to backpedal away from what he seemed to be saying. What happened is that something I think is happening more and more around the world today. Political correctness is rearing its ugly head and causing the faithful to back down from the truth of God's word. So the question becomes, is it Christian only? Is heaven Christian only? What this world needs are more people to stand up to the truth against all who would decry it. God asks us in Psalms 94:16, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up with me against the workers of iniquity? We need to answer this question with a resounding, I will. Sadly, more and more believers are failing to stand for God and His Word and are instead turning themselves over to worldliness. The problem with this is obvious. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? For whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We cannot be worldly and be of God. They are mutually exclusive positions, much like the positions we are going to be discussing here today. The hard fact about things is this. Sometimes, many times, you must choose. We live in a complicated world, yes, with many shades of gray, but there are also a great deal of things that are seriously black and white, and we are called upon to take a stand either for or against as we go through our lives. There are many things that are clearly either up or down, left or right, above or below, for or against. And in these things, we need to, are called on to take a stance. We are not without guidance in this stance, however, as the Word of God will enlighten us as to what God thinks about the subject at hand, and we can be secure in following His lead when we make our choice. If we turn to Him and rely on His wisdom to guide us, we will make the right choices and support the proper position. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Give it all over to God. It is when we lean on ourselves instead of seeking God's will in the Scripture that we find ourselves out of tune with the truth and without an anchor to hold us against the powerful waves of popular opinion and worldly pressures. What's popular is not often right, and what is right is not often popular. This does not mean that we should not pursue that which is right and true in God's eyes. In fact, that's the case for us to do so even more passionately. Our understanding should be through the eyes of God as He has presented His will in the Bible, not through our own eyes. We need to support that which God has deemed good and true and deny that which God has turned away from. Isaiah 5:20-21 puts it, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that puts bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. There are so many people that think they are prudent in their own sight that they have to have the right answer when they are completely wrong. Let me say this as offensively as possible. Homosexuality is not an acceptable lifestyle in the eyes of God. It's made clear by the Bible. This is one among many lifestyles that are not acceptable to Him. I'm not singling out homosexuality, I'm just noting it because it is the current hot topic of discussion. Premarital cohabitation is also condemned by God. There are many, many things in our popular culture that God does not approve of. But there's one thing that our faith teaches that is unpopular in our culture today. That is that Christianity is exclusive. That Christ is the path to heaven. And the only one. The only way we can get to God is through His Son. Oprah may say that all religions are a path to God, but Jesus said something different. In John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One of the two is lying. I'm putting my money on Oprah being wrong. Somehow I think Jesus is an authority in such matters. This is the offensive truth that we must cling to as Christians. When death comes to the world, when people lose their lives, their disposition with Christ matters. Yes, the shooting was tragic, as is every such incident, as is the Sikh shooting that's happened since. But there, what is more tragic is when someone dies without knowing Christ. Yes, we want to think that people who have lived their lives and had their lives tragically ripped away from them without cause or apparent reason by the way of the disaster or insane killer all naturally end up in a better place, if not for the experience that ended their lives. But this isn't always the case. As sad as it is, that is the truth. Death does not grant us immediate entrance to God's grace. That is something we must come to before death, not after. We must be believers before that final breath is drawn in our lungs, or else we die as unbelievers. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There's no other options presented by Jesus here. Either believe and be saved, or don't and be damned. Every time we back off this message, this truth, we are showing ourselves to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which teaches us that we are all sinners, that we must all come to repentance and believe on the Lord, that only by the grace of God, through the faith in Christ, can we come to the result that we all desire. But if we reject God, if we turn away from Jesus, then there's only the undesired result left that we consider. You know, when fate comes around, there's only the bad way to go. If someone, anyone, dies out there without knowing Christ, without that faith, without receiving that gift of God, they're set for damnation. I would apologize for this, but it's not my call. I don't make the rules. God does. And in His Word, His Holy Son spoke those words we just read, telling us that belief is required. Without it, damnation follows. Let's remember the jailer of Acts. Acts 16:30-31. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is the jailer. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And when the jailer asked Paul and the others what to do, he was instructed to believe in Jesus. If someone in that theater in Colorado had said they didn't believe in Jesus, or that religion wasn't for them, and perished in that shooting, then I must sadly say that it would appear that they have forfeited their place with God and have exchanged it for a taste of what Revelation calls the second death. This is a true tragedy of the situation, that people die without Jesus. That they may have died without the gift of God, which is freely given to those who would only reach out and believe and take it. This is what is truly heartbreaking. Those that believed in Christ and were obedient to the will of the Father in heaven obtained their reward. Those that do not face a darker fate. I think the point I want to make here is that Christianity is falling back in the face of an oppressive, politically correct world. We have the truth. We know the truth, and by God, and I mean that in seriousness, we are commanded to spread the truth to all we can. That truth is that only through Christ can we obtain eternal life. There is no other path. There is no other way. There is no way through Mary. There is no way through Buddha. There is no way through Vishnu or Krishna or Isa or Maitreya or any other name given under heaven than Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth of life and the truth of the afterlife as well. When someone dies without Christ, that is a tragedy. They have chosen to walk away from the only Savior and have chosen death and hell. Is this popular to say? No. Is it pleasant to think about? Absolutely not. Is it true? Yes. The world does not want to hear that, so they force Christians to back away from this truth and compromise the Word of God by saying something that is all-inclusive. Oh, well, you know, everybody, all dogs go to heaven. Well, you're backing off your word, man. You're not being true to who you are. You're not being true to that book that you carry around, that preaching that you seem to do. You know, we are doing a disservice to God in doing this. We are doing a disservice to our fellow man as well. By backing away from the truth of God that we have, we are being selfish with the gospel. We are being ashamed of the gospel. We are keeping the truth from ears that may well need to hear it. When we fail to declare Christ, we may be taking an opportunity away from someone to hear of Him. God may well have desired that we be the person to bring the good news to a certain individual, and when we cower, and we cower out, we are hurting that person and practicing disobedience to God. We must always remember that Matthew 10:33 says, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." By denying Jesus is the only path to the Father, we are denying Him. And He has clearly told us here that He will also deny us. We cannot be ashamed of Jesus and what He did on that cross, or else we are ashamed of the glory of God. So when someone challenges you over the idea that only Christians go to heaven, then you need to confirm for them that this is indeed true, not backpedal away from the position that God has made abundantly clear. Explain to people why this is the case. Why we all need salvation and grace from God. Man is a fallen creature, and we have all sinned and separated ourselves from God through that sin. Yes, we may think we want to be good, but the heart of man is vain and cannot be trusted. Proverbs 14:12 tells the truth. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You know, you think about it, and that verse always reminds me of that song Cats in the Cradle by Cat Stevens and, if you're my generation, Ugly Kid Joe. The song, the guy's distracted and doesn't raise his kid because he's too distracted doing what I'm sure he thinks is important things. And in the end, he realizes that he neglected the one thing that mattered, raising his son. And his son turned out to be just as neglectful as he is. And, you know, it's just like it hits him over the head. You know? So we might actually think that we're doing good or living a good life, or making the right decisions, or somewhere along those lines, when we are actually marching towards death and pain if we are living that life without Christ. We have all done things we shouldn't have. We've all broken some rule, done some kind of wrong, or committed some kind of evil act. If God is an all-powerful God, then He knows of our transgressions. If He is also perfectly just, then because He knows of our guilt, He is required to punish us for it. But wait, you might say, what about being perfectly merciful? Well, that figures into the answer of Christ. Now think about it. If a judge looked at a murderer and allowed him to avoid punishment for the murder just because the man did other good things in his life, or because the judge wished to be merciful, it would render the same judge terribly unjust. God cannot fail upholding justice perfectly, or else He wouldn't be God. He can't let down in one area to hold up another. He holds up all areas at all times. So what about that mercy? It came to earth in the form of the Son, Jesus Christ. See, we all deserve punishment for our crimes, but Jesus committed no crimes to warrant that punishment. He is completely innocent. So God, in His sense of justice, determines that His mercy allows for a system of surrogacy. Jesus, being without blame, steps in and takes the punishment for us. Because of His innocence, God accepts this arrangement. Therefore, justice is served because the punishment of the cross took place, but mercy is served because it's not us on that cross as it should be. And because Jesus is the divinely conceived Son of God and the Word, He is able to step in for all of us. His innocence being able to be divided among all the sinners of the world that ever were or ever will come. His divine nature accounts for His ability to save everyone that calls on His name and believes in Him. Without that mercy, without that system of justice, without that intermediary, the system breaks down and we all have to answer for our sins. You did the crime, you do the time. And God is again perfectly just, knowing we are all guilty, and we would be forced to face that punishment. So you see, my point is you cannot take Jesus out of the equation. There is no other path to heaven. Jesus is the only way, the only one that can help you get through that court date. That big court date that we're all going to have to face. We must take time to tell people this. We must not be ashamed of the gospel or of Christ, and we must not allow the world to back us into a corner where we backpedal away from our faith. This is just where we stand strong, not only for God, but for the benefit of our fellow man. We cannot water down our faith because we teach people that we don't have anything all that special when nothing can be further from the truth if we do that. If we water down our faith, we're teaching people, don't look here, you know, I think I have something really great, but nah, it's not that great because I'm not willing to fight for it. I'm not willing to make, you know, radical stands for it. I'm willing to be bullied away from that position, so it can't be that awesome, or else it would inspire me more. So we definitely need to make sure that we are inspired to stand strong for God and say, yes, Jesus said, I am the way, the life, the truth, and the life. And no man go unto the Father but by me. You know, he's the one. He's where it's at. And no amount of, dancing around a funky pole, wearing eagle feathers, chanting to Quetzalcoatl is going to help you. You need that relationship with Christ. That is where it's at. And if someone goes into a situation and does not survive that situation, and they do not have a relationship with Christ, if they are not saved by grace through an act of God, you know, that's a tragedy. And it's nobody likes to talk about that kind of tragedy, but it's a tragedy. And that's what we need to be working against in this world. We need to be taking the good news to the people as much as possible. That way, whenever the time comes for each of us, hopefully we can get as many of us as possible to know what's going on, to know the path, the way, the truth, the life, you know, and walk that straight and narrow path. You know, go through the straight gate and walk the narrow way. You know, so it just really bothers me whenever you start seeing, and this happens every now and then. Alan Coulter did it a few years back whenever she got cornered into saying something about Jews and Christians, and she backed off her Christianity a little bit. A lot of times you find a lot of famous people who will say something about Jesus as, you know, maybe very controversial but true, and then they'll get berated by the press, and then they'll go, oh, well, that's not very tolerant. You know, and it's like, well, tolerance is something that seems to just pop up whenever, you know, liberals want to throw it at somebody, you know. But whenever the religious right or the religious groups in general want to use liberal tolerance to explain things, well, that don't work. So anyway, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning here. I'm under some heavy medication. I just wanted to record this podcast and just tell people, you know, you gotta stand strong. You gotta say, hey, here's the deal. You know, maybe the best thing to do is not talk about a situation like that. I don't think you don't need to be running around going, if they're not a Christian, they're going to hell kind of thing. So that's just being a jerk. But you need to go around and you need to make sure you're spreading God's word the best you can, all you can, to your fellow man, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to spread the gospel to the four corners of the world. He wants us to get the word out, to tell the good news, man. All right, I'm going to go ahead and sign off for this podcast. Hopefully I'll be talking at you folks here again real soon. And until next time, God bless, my friends.